They all lock in. The question about cannons is, why didn't I like cannons? We actually use them at work all the time. And I don't use cannons in the field because they lock into macro at widest zoom setting. And you can get a huge photograph as long as you're willing to have the lens touch the subject. I'm not. Question?
Do you see much difference between the RAW and the TIFF format?
That's a little bit beyond the discussion for this group. RAW and TIFF are two very large uncompressed file formats. I like RAW. TIFF is just too big and unwieldy, and RAW enables you to do amazing things like those color cast changes are one click in aperture if you do that.
The ornithologists and stuff, they, you know, that there's that whole branch of birds that are referred to as the little brown jobbers, the ones that nobody wants to identify. And when I got involved with the Planetary Biodiversity Inventory, Toby and Michael Schwartz and a few guys came up to me at Brisbane at the annual meeting, and they said, oh, we got a good project for you. And they were telling me, if you like genitalia, which everybody knows that I like for my dissertation work, you're going to really like this group, Linocorus. And it ended up being the little brown jobbers of the mirrored world, as far as I'm concerned. And it really, the project has become the albatross that is hung around my neck throughout this project because it's, well, you'll see. So here we got Linocorus. It's the albatross around my neck. Here's one of the reasons why it's the albatross around my neck and why it was a little bit hard to delve into the world of the mirridae for me. This is what I worked on for my dissertation, are these beautiful stink bugs here in the genus Solomonius, and Linocorus is in fact the size of the genitalia of Solomonius. So there was a little bit of a shift that I had to make and learn to be more delicate with my big fat thumbs. So Linocorus, the genus.
Okay. Can birds save insects? I say yes, but I would put some caveats on that. I would restrict that statement to North America, and at least that's my plan. So we'll see if it happens. Let's face it. When I try to convince Joe Public that insects are neat, as we know they are, and that they're essential to terrestrial ecosystems, I generally fail. Joe's not interested, and I'm sorry, Faith, but I wish I had your faith in Joe Public. So I want to trick Joe into conserving insects. I want him to focus his attention on charismatic vertebrates. And the most charismatic vertebrates for most people are birds. They're charismatic because they're beautiful. They're non-threatening. Birds don't eat us. And also they're highly parental. And we as humans can relate to that. Anything that's parental must be something like us, and we're concerned about that. So as a consequence, there are 46 million birders in North America. And there are also compelling reasons why these birders ought to be concerned about the things that they like, the birds. These are breeding bird survey data from 1966 to the present, which outline what is happening to our bird populations. These are averages for each year, looking at the birds along the Mississippi Flyway and the Atlantic Flyway, and you can see that the picture is not very pretty. They're declining regularly and in predictable ways. If you look at individual species like the Cerulean warbler, it's declining 4.5% per year of its population. So if you start in 66, there's only 18 or 16% of its population left now compared to what it was in 66. Kentucky warblers lost 1.5% of its population per year, wood thrush 1%, and there are many, many other species that are on the decline like that. Why is this? Why are we losing our birds? It's really no mystery. We're taking away their habitat and we're taking away their food. When Europeans came to this country, they encountered, at least from the east, they encountered 950 million acres of virgin forest. This is what the virgin forest looks like now. And this. And this. This is where we work and this is where we live. There's not much. I think this is a big slide. Well, there we go. We've taken that intact forest and we've fragmented it over and over again. This is what a typical fragment from my neck of the woods looks like. And of course, we know that when we fragment habitats, we're losing niche space. So you may not have immediate loss of species in that fragment, but the populations are far smaller than they were, and small populations are much more vulnerable to extinction than our large populations. So over time, they do tend to disappear. There's lots of good data from habitat islands and real islands these days that can demonstrate this in progress. And I'll just use one example from Barra Colorado Island. It was, of course, an island formed in the middle of the Panama Canal when the canal was created in 1916. So it's been there almost 100 years at this point. It was a mountaintop, and as the waters from the Chagres River rose when it was dammed to form Gatun Lake, they surrounded this mountaintop. And as you can see, it's not isolated from the mainland by very far, a very great distance. It's less than a mile in any one direction. And also, if you look over to the right there, that's an aerial shot of BCI. It's entirely forested. It's virgin forest. The only development on BCI is the Smithsonian Institute Research Station. Nevertheless, it started out with 283 bird species that were breeding successfully on that island, and so far it's lost 65 species, which is 23%. Several others are on the verge of extinction. It simply has shrunk its niche space, and you cannot pack that many species into a smaller area. Here's the key. Barra Colorado Island is 3,700 acres. So it's a pretty good chunk of real estate. And if you compare that to the habitat islands that we're leaving, particularly in the east, so for example, Delaware, the average woodlot size is 49 acres. So that's 75 times smaller than Barra Colorado Island, and Barra Colorado Island is losing its species. So what do you think is happening in the average woodlot size that we have left there? All right, that's what we've done to habitat. There's no mystery there. What have we done to bird food? We can't answer that question until we understand what birds eat. And if I asked Joe Public what birds eat, he would say they eat seeds and they eat berries, and that's why I put out my bird feeder, so that the birds would be happy. Well, there are a lot of birds that eat berries. If you look at what birds eat when they are making more birds, when they're reproducing, this is a list of the bird families in North America that rear their young on arthropods. So that's insects and largely spiders. And the spiders, of course, eat insects. And it's 96% of all the birds in North America are depending on arthropods to rear their young. If you take insects out of any ecosystem, you are reducing forage for birds. It's that simple. No insects, no baby birds. So if you're going to conserve birds, we've got to conserve insects. And this is how I tricked Joe Public. We want him to conserve the birds. He likes the birds. He's willing to do that. We don't mention that we're going to make more insects in order to do that. So how do we make more insect? What generates insect biomass? It's native plants that generates more insect biomass. And this, of course, is straight out of plant-insect interaction theory. 40 years old, Ehrlich and Rabin said a long time ago that insects can't eat just any old plant. And that's because, of course, all plants are defended with secondary metabolites. And only insects, in general, insects require a long evolutionary history with a plant lineage in order to develop the enzymes and whatnot in order to physiologically be able to deal with these secondary metabolic compounds. That forces insects down the road of specialization, and if you heard Dan Jansen's talk, you can see that there's a lot more specialists out there than we had thought. Once an insect specializes on a plant lineage and a group of compounds, it is unlikely that it is able to rapidly switch to another group of compounds in another plant lineage. And estimates are, they are repeatedly coming in, that somewhere around 90% of our insect herbivores are fairly specialized. So that's the problem. What we've done, after we have fragmented our habitats, we've come into our human developments and replaced the native plants. We get the bulldozer out, we pull up all the native plants, and then we put in non-native